You're listening to The Perth Property Show, Australia's only weekly property podcast by West Australian experts for West Australian listeners. Catch your latest episode every Monday at 7 a.m.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Perth Property Show. My name's Trent Fleskins, your host. As always, this week we're going out to the regional markets with Brendan Ptolemy, our resident valuations expert from Heron Todd White, to give us an update on what's going on out there, which parts of town are booming, which ones are starting to settle down. Brendo, thanks for coming in, mate.
Trent, thanks for having me. Great to be here, man.
The last 12 months have been a little bit of a Tetris game, I feel, when it comes to the jostling of positions with the regional market. We've seen Busselton, Dunsborough having a great run, Karratha, Port Hedland modulating, Kalgoorlie hitting its straps, even Geraldton having a look in, which I can't believe. Albany ticking along doing its thing, and the Mandurah market and Bunbury markets are really starting to kick along from an affordability basis. Every time we speak, it seems that one area is starting to pop up and one is just settling down a little bit. Patchy is the best way I'd explain it. What's going on?
Quite patchy around the place, although given that we're talking about a really strong Perth metro market, a fair bit of that strength is still flowing out into these regions now. So we can talk about them individually, but we're seeing some similar issues in terms of supply and demand in some of those larger markets, in particular in the southwest.
Yeah. Let's start with Mandurah. We do like to include them in our regional space. It's a market that has seen quite a bit of pressure from the investor space, but also just due to affordability, as we've spoken about in the Perth update, a lot of people are starting to press that price back up again from historically ridiculous lows.
Mandurah has had that excellent recovery. It really required that recovery because it really did get hit so hard in the downturn.
Which affects the socio-demographics.
Exactly. And so we're essentially back to two things happening down there. So affordability prospect, and that's really good from the angle of people looking for somewhere they can afford to live in a good location. There's a large number of subdivisions, both north and south of Mandurah, that provide really good lifestyle options or community type options that you would expect out of a normal subdivision. Then you've got the holiday market there, so the leisure market in and around all the canals. That's gone back to where it was in the past, i.e. the values have restored to that kind of mill and a half above in terms of getting yourself a holiday home that was traditionally that leisure market of Mandurah. That's back to normal levels and increasing again. Not dramatically. Again, it's a little bit like the Perth market in terms of a mill and a half and above. It's not struggling, but it's selective in where the value growth
is. It's not sitting on the market for 6 to 12 months like the canals were.
No, exactly. And so what you see is obviously people coming through to either buy that retirement home or that holiday home, but they'll be considered in terms of their decision making.
Still well below replacement value, Amanda, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So as we talked about with Perth Metro, we would think that you're moving into a zone where replacement, as in buy block of land and build a brand new home in those subdivisions, is becoming a really good prospect from an affordability point of view. And then in particular in the higher end of the market down there, it would be really difficult to buy a block of land and build a new house on a canal because of construction costs at this point in time for anything less than what you'd buy established product for.
And I don't think we're seeing a whole bunch of construction. Obviously, you've got the Tucky Cove development that's rolling along a pretty good price point, but I still think there's a bit of stock out there. The median time on market is 18 days at the moment, which is about double what the Perth market is. It's still a fantastic number. Like 18 days is still very low.
Yeah.
But we're probably still not seeing that full topping out in Mandurah anywhere near it, right? I think Mandurah's got a long way to go.
Yeah, it should still continue its recovery. What it's actually proving at the minute is that the storm is around Perth Metro, traditional Perth Metro, and that hasn't flowed out to the Mandurah area yet. And so therefore that value growth is probably yet to catch up down there.
Okay, so Mandurah, no real downside risk to buying in there if you're looking in the suburb?
No, just be careful of product again. I'd caution against going to look at that multi-million dollar property on the canal and diving in. Do your homework, do your research, and then same in established dwelling locations. Just make sure you're buying good product in good suburbs, and then in those new communities and new subdivisions, again, it's a little bit like buying in Perth Metro, but just make sure you do your homework as to the product that you're buying and get the right price point.
Let's move to Bunbury. One thing I note recently from publications online is that Bunbury has sort of led the pack in the regional space in WA over the last 12 months. It is the best performing regional area.
Listings down in Bunbury, excessive pressure on the supply side of things. Demand is strong from both locals trying to get into the market and from investors. So interesting that you see the flow on from surrounding industries, things like the Greenbushes lithium play there. Clearly lithium's been in the news in terms of downturn. That does not seem to have affected the enthusiasm for investors into that market. The other part about it is still the affordability proposition. So just an example sent through from one of our valuers down there, Kerry Park. So, you know, big suburb, traditionally quite affordable, some interesting housing stock through there, listed on the market for offers at $389,000. 12 offers received, ended up accepting an offer at $451,000. So as we talked about in Perth Metro, we're seeing people come through, essentially disregarding the listing price and going really hard at the property in terms of trying to secure it and ending up a fair way above listing price.
So they're looking at the product going, this is amenable to me, and then trying to figure out whether their affordability lines up with the end price that the rest of the market will pay for, irrespective of what it's being listed for.
Exactly. And then, so the other factor would be that they're coming potentially out of a rental market. So if you're renting in the area, pressure on rents, you feel pressure that the landlord's going to continue to increase your rent as you go forward. And so you flip out into the capital market and buy your own product, essentially. Yeah.
I would have thought the way the East Coast market views Bunbury is a bit different to the way that we do. I think we view Bunbury as city people as sort of that country town that's got not much going on. Why would you want to specifically live in Bunbury? Maybe you came from there. Maybe you're looking for a tree change. Maybe you work there. Those are the reasons. But that is from a single city state.
Yeah.
The East Coast, they have a number of these towns, whether it's a Geelong or it's a Newcastle or it's a Gladstone, Cairns, Townsville, that would sit similarly in terms of population and reasons for existing, right? So I would have thought there'd be less reticence, especially just looking at the numbers as an investor, vacancy rate, population, yields, and go, you know what, Bunbury looks like an affordable option here, and I can get a much better house here than I can in the city of Perth.
The affordability is the lead story here. And as you're suggesting, Trent, the demographics of Bunbury in terms of looking at size of population and the established nature of the town centre there, if you look at that from the outside, from the East Coast, it looks pretty normal. They're all up and down the eastern seaboard. And so certainly wouldn't turn people away from Bunbury in terms of an investment. It's certainly at a price point. The other thing from a regional WA point of view is that it doesn't have some of the issues that happen in other regional locations throughout WA, and that would be things like affordability of insurance and availability of trades for maintenance, those kinds of things. Bunbury is its own place and has all of those things available, and so therefore isn't a bad prospect at all in terms of an affordable investment property.
It's more like a mini Perth than a regional town, isn't it?
Again, go back to that stigma. It's the stop off on the way down south for most Perthites when they go to a holiday that's either a weekend or away or school holidays, and so it becomes that forgotten place because it is its own centre of commerce.
Yeah, it's not a holiday destination. It is a place where people live. It's a place where people do business.
Yeah, spot on. Yep.
Let's move to Busselton, Dunsborough. What's going on there? Has the airport made a big difference yet? Are we seeing big pushes on population growth from, for example, Melbourne, of people rolling in and setting up a life there?
I'm not sure about that transfer of population, as in people moving to the region because of the airport, but what we are seeing is certainly stories from those tourism businesses down there about the tourists coming through, which is that was the whole idea here in terms of that investment. One person I spoke to was quite bemused about the airport, but saying that I haven't been there yet, but telling me that it was a tin shed. But that's pretty similar to lots of airports around regional Western Australia and in the rest of the country. The market is still really solid and really undersupplied through those locations that you want to live in, either as a resident of the area, so places like Dunsborough Lakes, or if you're looking for a holiday home in the southwest. If you're looking anywhere from bottom end of Busselton right through into Dunsborough, Yelling Up and Margaret River, it's a very stressed market and very difficult to get into in terms of what your choice is at this point in time.
See, I keep asking you every quarter, expecting at some point in time, especially the Dunsborough market, to sort of come off the boil.
Yep.
There's been times where it's gone from 10 to 9 on the induction dial, right?
But yeah.
At no point in time are you coming to me saying, Trent, yeah, it's really slowed down. The whole COVID thing's done now. People are selling out. You're not telling me that, are you?
No. The only thing that is happening is just that affordability side of things. So in that marketplace, affordability starts kicking in between, say, 800,000 and 1.5, where that part of the market might be a little bit slower because there's slightly less purchases from an affordability point of view. But otherwise, there's a storm around those numbers below that level.
You see they got a development application approved for apartments in Dunsborough?
Well, there's some very interesting product coming out of the ground there. Architecturally, it's looking really significant. In terms of value, the numbers I've heard are Perth-type luxury apartment-type numbers on a rate per square metre.
I think it'd have to be to get it up.
Right? Yeah, from a construction point of view. I think those places are going to be quite amazing to live, to get some height. If you're on level 3, 4, 5, 6 in that location, looking over Geograph Bay, in particular looking north, it's going to look pretty fantastic.
You see the whole bay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so you're going to feel a bit king of the castle. It's good to see a little bit of density coming into the town centre there, because you've got to start to provide some alternative accommodation types.
You also have to keep supporting the local businesses in that area. The more people you bring into that town centre, hopefully the less transient, the less seasonal that is, and the businesses are just a bit stronger.
Yeah, so that local economy is, it's been traditionally very strong, and we've seen it mature over a period of time. And I think as generations change down there, we just see that continue to mature. And so then you give people different options as to where their principal place of residence might be. So they may relocate from Perth City because they've now got that luxury type option down there, and that means that they bring capital to invest in the region, right?
There's a big land development going on south of Margaret River, a couple actually.
Yep.
Do we know if they're starting to sell well? It's a house and land space. I look at that subdivision and I think this is going to double the size of Margs.
Yeah, so that's really interesting in terms of Margaret River has been constrained. In particular, all of last year, the rental market was really tight, really hard to find somewhere to live down there.
It's mainly Airbnb, that's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. So Airbnb takes that out of the volume out of the marketplace. But when you're trying to grow a town, just like we talked about with Dunsborough a second ago, if there's not viable places for people to come and live and services them, for them to use, then they will see through that really quickly and move on. So essentially what's happening at the southern end of Margaret River is the town's maturing. They're providing everyday accommodation, i.e. standard residential principal place of residence accommodation for people to live in. I wouldn't expect that to be as attractive to people from a holiday home point of view. And so therefore you create space and options for people to live and work within the town. It's interesting that the further, slightly further south is the eco development. That's been very successful in terms of
Witchcliff.
Really successful in providing a diverse range of accommodation for a diverse range of people. You know, from our point of view, you stand back from that and say well done to the developer in terms of creating something different, in particular from housing types. There's a lot of different housing styles and construction styles in there, which can create an example for other subdivisions or even builders and developers to follow into the future.
Denmark, Albany, where are we at with that?
Denmark and Albany running really hot at the moment, so still going really hard in terms of demand and supply. So let's just remember that we do have an Airbnb effect in Albany. Clearly, that's continued on as the market's changed. That supply is still out of the market. Clearly, the demand's there for the holiday home side of the market. So that means that there's a constrained supply on residences for people to buy or investors to buy to rent. Really significant pressure on the long-term rental market in that location. Significant pressure on supply. What Albany and Denmark has going for it, though, is that it's big enough, a little bit like Bunbury, to have its own building workforce. So there are trades there. There are independent builders that can construct supply into the future. It's just that they can't create miracles and supply it overnight. It's just going to come over a period of time.
Kalgoorlie?
So Kalgoorlie is really interesting. Let's highlight Kambalda to begin with, because it's made some headlines across the country as the highest growth suburb. I think it's at the stat was something like 114%. So when we think about the stats that Perth might not be getting in terms of median house price, that certainly hit the airwaves across the country in terms of a median house growth over a period of a year or so. So that's starting to come off a little bit. And essentially the attraction out there is undersupply of housing stock, both for rental and for purchase. That means that you get really good rental returns, and essentially the get-in price is quite low. So investors look through there and see a 10 or 15% return on a capital value that might only cost them $200,000 to get into the market. Back into Kalgoorlie, again, significant pressure there. Price growth in the sub $300,000 market has really gone straight up to the 400K market range, and there's plenty of offers around town for that type of product, whether that be owner-occupier or investors. Essentially, returns are still tracking in terms of yields. When we're talking about returns here, we're talking gross returns. They're 10% and above in Kalgoorlie at this point in time. That's reflecting essentially the pressure on rents, undersupply in the rental market.
Income
there.
In the area as well.
And then obviously it reflects that income and desperation from mining companies and contractors and those kinds of people to find somewhere for the workers to live. Interesting scenario that we saw recently. So a mining contracting company coming through and buying a house that is worth over $1 million, big house with plenty of bedrooms and bathrooms, and then putting their workers in there using the capital value of investment to essentially provide accommodation for their own workers. The other thing that's changing slightly in Kalgoorlie is just seeing more of the workers' camp style accommodation. I'm doing that in inverted commas. So we're not talking about a traditional northwest style workers' camp, but what we're seeing is that donga type construction being built at, say, the back of existing caravan parks or where the council will permit. So essentially that creates really quick supply into the marketplace because the council permit that to be built. Obviously, it's going to be built to code, but essentially you're creating a large amount of accommodation really quickly. Unfortunately, for Kalgoorlie, that doesn't, well, fortunately, maybe for investors and their returns, it doesn't solve the problem overnight and create enough supply.
What about Geraldton? Nothing happening? Anything happening? So the market's moving, isn't it?
Yeah, the list that I talked about that Kambalda made, so Spalding made that list as well in terms of like 100% value change over 12 months. So a couple of things happening there. We've talked about this on the pod in the past in terms of Spalding having been a really cheap suburb to come and buy into.
Not the basketball brand.
No, that's now caught up to the rest of the world, really, the rest of Australia in terms of value growth. The rest of Jarrow is tracking along really well. It's not booming, but good products is going to sell really quickly in there. Again, rental returns are significant. Again, undersupplied rental stock in there. What I really like about the Jarrow story is a local economy that's returned to where it should be as a regional city in WA.
How?
Investment in there. So what's changed in there is essentially capital investment coming from a few different angles. The one that I think that probably stands out is potentially that renewable energy type scenario. For better or worse, Jarrow is a windy place. There is the opportunity there. But the balance on that too is it's a really sunny place. So that renewable energy story, I think, has probably got a long way to go in terms of bringing some capital investment into town. And then we get back to the port story. You know, that keeps bubbling away in terms of whether Okajee gets built or not built. As we know, it's a significant capital investment. Clearly, Geraldton already has its own port and there are materials going out through there already, and that's boosted the local economy.
Karratha, Port Hedland, South Hedland, where are we at?
I'd start with just a caution to everyone in terms of me talking about rental yields here, because they're really high and some investors might sit around and go, wow, they're getting a 13% return on a property investment. You know, that's really unusual. I can only get, say, 8% out of my super or whatever. But let's just be cautious that we're talking gross returns here. Your super returns, probably talking net returns. So there are some costs around owning property in the northwest of Australia. In particular, insurance costs have still got pressures on them. And then strata fees, if you're buying into a strata property, connected same with that insurance issue. So essentially be careful on the way in terms of buying, but rents have stabilized a bit in the Karratha marketplace. When I say stabilize, it means that they just going up as quickly as they were, but they're still excessive in terms of comparing those rents to the rest of the regional market in WA and across the rest of the country. Interesting from our local valuer to note that Rio Tinto has announced that it will increase homeowners' housing allowance. So that's an amount of money that their employees get paid per annum. So that will mean that the budget for some of those people goes up in terms of their rents or their capital value purchase. There are still investors coming back into the apartment market up there. And so when I'm talking about these numbers, gross yields, 15% for apartments in that Karratha market at this point in time. So still really intense numbers, and capital values follow those investment yield returns.
So it's clearly still a level of strength. Nothing to write home about like it was 3-4 years ago, but certainly hasn't swung down in the same way that it swung up, in the way that Bears would say Karratha operates. One thing I guess that's in the back of my mind, we spoke about this on the residential market quickly, is where the iron ore price is going.
Yep.
This market is the front line that feels the ups and downs of that, right? And we also spoke about how a lot of markets are really just based on the expectation or perception of what's going to happen rather than reality. Do you think that Karratha is one of those places where if you were putting money in there, you'd consider it one of the least safe places in Perth right now in terms of what we can't control and we don't know about the future?
The returns in terms of the return on your investment up there reflect the risk involved in terms of buying into that marketplace. It has traditionally been cyclical. Might just remind everyone that in the previous downturn in the northwest, Port Hedland and Karratha basically went down by an amount of 66% over a period of 2 or 3 years as it corrected. We're on the way back up from that. We haven't reached those highs again or regained that ground yet, but it's a little bit like Kalgoorlie as well in terms of being cyclical. You just need to be aware that you're buying into a market that does have higher peaks and lower troughs than other property markets across the country. But in the compensation for that is essentially getting paid a higher return on the way through.
So you're a thrill seeker. You're not on the teacups, you're on the roller coaster.
Yeah, and if you've got a balanced property portfolio and you can afford that debt and service it, then that's all okay. Go and make those informed decisions, yeah.
Okay. Port South Hedland?
Port Hedland has slowed up a little bit. There was a little bit of craziness around in Port Hedland last year. There's a port buyback scheme going on. And essentially, if you're in that location or you're in the Port / South Hedland location, Port is the nicer lifestyle place to buy. And so as values drifted upwards, there was a little bit of craziness about getting into the market and also the buyback scheme going on in terms of people making decisions about whether they're going to hold assets into the future, and obviously the government buying back properties because of the issues around the dust in the port there. That'll be an ongoing issue in terms of the buyback, but it just settled down a little bit at this point in time. The heat is in the market in South Hedland, so investors are essentially piling in because of those gross rental returns that we talked about a minute ago. Rents have a lot of pressure, upward pressure on them. We're talking about 11 to 13% returns in there. So when we're reporting back to the banks in terms of evaluation, we have to report to them from a risk scale as to whether the return on a property is above 10%. Our valuer in town is essentially saying that pretty much every property that is an investment property and is rented out at the moment is reflecting something above 10% in that marketplace. That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, when you think about it, obviously that's a gross space. The net space is a couple of percent more than you get in Perth after all the costs of air conditioning and insurance, as you speak about all the time.
Yeah.
So don't get blinded by that. It'd be the message, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still fascinating to watch the roller coaster go around.
Yeah. And maintenance costs too is the other thing that I should point out. Not a huge amount of tradie supply in the location. It's a difficult place to work. The cost of undertaking any work up there, both in terms of labor and materials, are significant. So if you own a property up there, expect that your maintenance costs will be extra high.
Well, that's the regional market update from you, Brendan. I guess the summary here is that to varying degrees, most of that regional market is doing pretty well at the moment. There's not really any markets you're going to say, you're telling me, are real downside risks. Some are hotter than others, but certainly most of these markets are moving on. I guess the only one that we haven't spoken about that was soft last time we spoke about was Broome.
Yeah, so Broome is still going through that little bit of correction phase. It's not going backwards. It's just that there's a little bit more supply there. It's a little bit like the other tourist-led towns. So I see this in a microcosm in Exmouth. There's just a less activity around because they've come out of the, when we talk about COVID, they've come out the back end of that cycle in terms of they were going through a 12-month tourist cycle, which had never happened to them before. And now they're back to normal tourist cycle where they essentially will have everyone come and visit during the dry season. That means that there's not a population trying to accommodate in the town for the whole of the 12 months. Town can get a little bit back to normal in terms of rents, and therefore the capital values return to a more normal cycle as well.
Brendan, thanks for your time, mate. We'll speak to you in another 3 months to get another update on how well this regional market is tracking along.
Cheers. Thanks, Trent. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Perth Property Show. If you've only just joined the conversation, you can catch up by heading over to our website, perthpropertyshow.com.au, subscribing to the podcast, or joining our Facebook page. Don't forget to tune in next Monday at 7 a.m. for more expert insights, local analysis, and suburb spotlights. Happy hunting!